Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Faith is putting trust in God. So when you read the scriptures and you read a promise in the Word of God, and now you trust God, that's faith. The more you learn God's Word, the more faith you can have, because you can put trust in what God said.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For the believer, that verse out of Romans chapter 10 must be something we keep in front of our eyes and on our hearts. God's Word is where we learn of God's promises and how those who kept the faith reaped the rewards of waiting on and believing in Him. Here's part two of Romans 10, 14 through 21. With Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Paul's point is, not everybody gets saved. So when we give altar calls and we see four, five, six people that will respond and give their lives to the Lord, every once in a while there'll be no one. And someone asked me a few years ago, how do you feel when that happens and there's no one who raises their hand? And my answer is, I don't feel any different than I do when people raise their hands. I get excited when people raise their hands, but I'm not the one moving on people's hearts. People either respond or they don't. And not everybody's going to believe the report. Not everybody's going to respond in a positive way. Some people go, no, I don't want to invite Jesus into my life. Yes, I want to live for myself and I don't want to live for Him. Even though Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. So when we give our lives up for His sake, we find it. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you. When you live your life for Him, you're actually finding your life. But not everybody hears that, and not everybody responds. And here in Romans chapter 10, he's talking about a large amount of the Jewish people. That's why his heart was broken in chapter 9, because not everybody has believed his report. Even though the gospel has been preached, even though people hear it, doesn't mean that they're all going to give their lives to Christ. Romans 10, 17, he says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now we got to keep it in context. So he's been talking about believing and hearing and sending and preachers that go forward. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he's saying to us as a church that we need to keep this message central, that it needs to be a key part of what we do. We have a bridge home that is part of our ministry at our church, where we help prisoners go from the penitentiary, it's a halfway house called the Calvary Bridge Home, that helps prisoners go from coming out of prison to into society and not getting trapped back into things again. That's part of our ministry. Jesus told us to do that. We have a pantry to help feed the poor. We've got benevolence funds to come alongside of people and help people. Those are all things that we do and that we want to keep doing and do even more. But we've got to keep the hearing of the gospel and faith coming by hearing right up front, because it's what we're called to do. Now, there's more going on here as well when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is putting trust in God. So when you read the scriptures and you read a promise in the word of God, and now you trust God, that's faith. The more you learn God's word, the more faith you can have, because you can put trust in what God said. It's not about having a faith container inside of you that you get more faith. It's about knowing more of the promises of God that you can live by faith. That's why we want to feed on the milk and the meat of God's word. That's why we want to know it. That's why we want to read it on a regular basis. That's why we should memorize scripture, why we should study scripture, why we should go to a church that preaches the word of God, because we want as much of the word of God in us as we can get. I heard a faith type of teacher, faith movement teacher. They teach that God wants you healthy all the time and never sick. They teach you that God wants you rich and never wants you poor. And if you are sick, you don't have enough faith. If you are poor, then you don't have enough faith either. Despite the fact that Paul said, I've learned to obey, be abased, and abound. And despite the fact that when Paul said that he wanted the thorn in his flesh to be removed, that God said, my grace is sufficient for you, the thing's going to stay right where it is. God didn't always meet the needs that way, despite those things. But I heard someone say that they put a tape recorder in the crib of their baby and they would play. This is a long time ago, by the way, when there were like cassettes, okay? So he put a tape recorder in the crib of their baby so that they could play the word of God so the baby would have a lot of faith. The baby would grow up having a bunch of faith because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't help if you're sleeping now. It doesn't help if you're not listening to what the word of God is saying. You've got to take it in. You've got to understand it. You've got to believe it. And by believing it, you are now walking in faith. What did Habakkuk say? The just shall live by faith. What does Romans say earlier than this? The just shall live by faith. So once we've been justified, we live by faith doing the things that God wants us to do. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And yes, the more I know the word of God, the more possibilities I have of walking in faith. I might not trust it. I might read it and not believe it. So you could hear it and not believe it, but the more of the word of God that you know, now you can hear it and trust it and believe it and see what God's going to do. See what God might do in your life on whatever level, wherever God has taken you. So then, he says in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing. How does this work? You hear God's word, you hear his promise, you hear his proclamations, you have something to build your faith on by trusting in the things that God has said. Now, this is the chain Paul began earlier that comes full cycle. A preacher is sent, a message is proclaimed, people hear it, some believe it, and call on the name of the Lord and are saved, and hearing by the word of God end up giving their lives to Christ. So what do you have to present when you're giving an altar call? You've got to present the truth of God's word so people can trust it and hear it and believe on it. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word is alive. It gets into us and it does its work inside of us. What does he mean by God's word being alive? God stands behind his word. And so it's actually a promise that you can put your trust in. If I gave you a promise, hopefully as a pastor, you could trust my word. But God's word has God standing behind it. I might promise you I will be somewhere and then, I don't know, slip and fall and break my arm and not be able to be there. Not because I didn't want to be there. God will always be there because God's never going to slip and fall and break his arm and not going to be there. He'll always keep his promises. His word is alive in a way that our word is not alive because we are limited and he is limitless. We are not sufficient. He is sufficient in everything, and we can put our trust in him. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was not only a theologian and a pastor, but was a medical doctor as well, said, preaching is theology coming through a man who's on fire. That's what preaching should be. Theology coming through a man who's on fire, understanding what God's word says. When we read or hear God's word, we receive those promises and we put our faith in those promises as we receive them from God. This is how we live as Christians. So in Romans 10:18, he goes on, he says, but I say, they have not all heard. Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all of the earth and their words to the end of the world. Now this is Psalms 19:14. That he's quoting in Romans 10. Their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. So what does it say in Romans chapter 1? That creation is a sign that speaks of a creator. And so God has sent something for everyone in the world to see and know, that there is a creator. And so then in Romans 10:19, he quotes another Old Testament passage. But I say, did Israel not know? For Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. I think that's happening in Israel today, even as we're speaking. The people of Israel are beginning to become aware of the passages that you and I have known forever, because they have been hidden from them, because their leaders will not show them Isaiah 9:6 and Isaiah 7:14 and Malachi 5:2 and Psalms and Isaiah 53 and Psalms 22. They don't show them. And so when they get read to them, Psalms 22, and they say, who is this about? They say, Jesus, even though it's Psalms 22 or Isaiah 53. They say, it sounds like Jesus. They'll read Isaiah 9:6 and say, is that a Christian verse or is that a Jewish verse? And they'll say it's a Christian verse. Why? Because it's the verse that says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. They haven't heard that that's in their Tanakh, that the promise of the coming Messiah would be called God, and they're beginning to learn it now. And so Jews are coming to Christ in numbers like never before. We're seeing what Paul longed to see. They had it hidden from them, but they are now seeing it, and they're coming to Christ in great numbers. And I believe that this is a sign of us living in the last days. I believe that Israel being back in the land, as God promised, I will put them in the land, God said, and I will never remove them. They will be in the land, they will live in the cities, and they will till the ground, and I will not remove them again. He talks about them being taken out twice. They were taken out by the Babylonians and taken out by the Romans. And then God said, I will reach out my hand a second time, and I will take my people from among the nations, and I will bring them back into their land, and they will not be taken out of their land again, despite the anti-Semitism that we see in Israel today, that we see in the United States today, that we see in Europe today, that we see around the world. Things that we never thought we'd see. Things that when we were kids, we never thought that we would see anything like what we're seeing today. People turning against the Jews, but they're coming to Christ. But so are Muslims as well, by the way, in record numbers. God's really doing a work. He's doing something. Now here he quotes Isaiah 65:1. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. And I am here. To a nation who was not called by my name. We read a couple of weeks ago that there would be a group of people who are not his people, who have now become his people. And that's us. A mixture of Jews and Gentiles who are not his people, but now we become his people because we've become the church. John Stott said, we must not allow ourselves to become so obsessed with the rejection of the gospel, the fact that people aren't getting saved. I threw that in. He goes on to say that we fail to see how far it has gone and how many have received it with joy. We can't let the fact that people don't come to Christ stop us from giving the gospel out, because we're guaranteed that the gates of hell won't prevail against us. As long as we do it, people are going to get saved. Romans 10:21 says, this is the final verse, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Now, we're about to get into chapter 11. And chapter 11 is going to have some good news for Israel. There's going to be a little bit more about why Israel has walked away and what God's doing in the world, but he's going to talk about them coming back to him. And the Old Testament spoke about it as well. Zechariah 12:10. I will pour out a spirit of mercy and grace on Jerusalem, and they will mourn for me as one who mourns for an only son when they look upon me, God speaking. Look it up yourself, Zechariah 12:10. When they look upon me, whom they pierced in Jerusalem. When was God pierced in Jerusalem? We know the fulfillment from the New Testament. The piercing wasn't the piercing of the hands, but the piercing of the side, the New Testament says. When they put the spear in his side, they pierced him. And they also pierced his hands. He was pierced through for our transgressions. It says in Isaiah 53. Actually using those words, the words for piercing. He was pierced through for our transgressions, the Bible tells us. And so three things in closing. Number one, faith comes by hearing, so we must speak. People won't believe unless someone tells them. God's plan hasn't changed. We are the messengers, and we don't want to be silent. And let me say this too for pastors that may be listening to this. You can touch on all kinds of topics, but you have to preach the gospel on a regular basis. People are not going to get sick of you preaching the gospel, I promise. I've never had anybody come. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, we're leaving the church. But I've never had someone come to me and say, we're leaving the church because you preach the gospel too much. Never, not one time. I'm tired of it. You give an altar call after every service. Never had anybody say that. Don't be afraid that people are going to get, you know, grow tired of the message of the gospel, because we all realize we want the gospel proclaimed. We want a place we can bring people who will hear the message of the gospel proclaimed. So speaking to pastors, preach the gospel. Number two, many will reject. So don't let that discourage you. But some will believe. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Don't let it cause you to be silent because there are those who don't listen to your message. It's not about you. It's about God. And so if a lot of people get saved, it's not about you. And if God gave someone a gift of evangelism and a lot of people do get saved, that's just a gift that they've been given. What have you got, the Bible says, that you haven't been given? So they've been given a gift. And what an amazing gift to have. But it's not about you. It's about God, and it's about the people getting saved. And anybody with the gift of evangelism will tell you that. Number three, God is reaching. God is looking for those who will go out, who will be sent, who will go where God wants to go. Will you go? Will you say, Lord, use me? However you want to use me, wherever you want to use me, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Who knows where God's going to take you? I remember when I made that commitment to him as a young man, thinking that God was going to take me somewhere I didn't want to go. Why do we think that? That God's going to take me someplace where I don't want to go. My sister went to Venezuela. Her husband worked on a dam down there. He was in construction. And she called me up, and I don't like spiders. She called me up and she said, hey, Robert, I thought about you today. She's 2 years older than me. She said, I came home and there's a plate-sized spider on my screen door. And I said, God's going to send me to Venezuela. I know it. I know that's what God's going to do. God's not looking to, he's just looking to see people saved and touched. And there are people everywhere. And there's people in Hawaii and there's people in Anchorage, you know? There's people everywhere. Places you might want to go or you might not want to go, but will you go? Will you go to the people who are around you with a message? Because the ears are the highway to the heart. The gospel's got to go through it. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time that we've had to be able to cover this passage. And what a great passage this remaining passage out of Romans chapter 10 is. And Lord, we want to be men and women that walk by faith. We want to trust you and know your promises so that we can live by faith. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would do its work. Fill us with your Spirit, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this. I'd like everyone to keep their heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for a few moments. If you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you did in the past, but you didn't follow through, remember there's the evidence in the following through. So if you need to give your life to Jesus today, then here's your opportunity to say, Lord, I want you in my life. I'm ready to live for you. I'm ready. I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that we will rise from the dead and face judgment one day. And I believe you died for me, that my sins could be forgiven. And you want to begin to live for him now. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to him. This is very biblical. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name, who are not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. So you need to be born again. Will you receive him? You have to invite him in. He's not going to force his way into your life. You have to say, Lord, I want you. You're here today, you want to give your life to Jesus? I'm going to ask you to do something simple but profound. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift up high so I can see it. I want to see your hand. I want to acknowledge it. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Just raise your hand. Today, don't harden your heart if you hear his voice. The Bible says, and God bless you there, sir. That's awesome. The Bible says, and God bless you, that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws them. So God's got to be the one who does the work in your heart here today. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. Back by the windows, that's great. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. God's doing a work. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. All right, you can put your hands down. If you're watching online or you're listening on Reach Radio, then you could pray this prayer as well. But I want to lead you in a prayer. And it's calling on the name of the Lord that causes you to get saved. Raising your hand doesn't save you. You say, then why did you make me raise my hand? Because it's the faith that caused you to raise your hand. And it's the faith that causes you to pray the prayer. And it's the faith that causes you to live the life that God gives you as he changes you, forgives your sins, has a plan and a purpose for your life. So I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. For those of you who raised your hands, I'll never forget when I made my commitment to the Lord, how God radically changed me. I became hungry for the things of God, and I believe God's going to do the same thing in your life. We have a new believers table after the service. We want to give you a Bible. That's the milk and meat of God's word that you can grow by. We've got a booklet we put together which said basically is, I've raised my hand. What do I do now? Just so you know, because a lot of people have raised their hands in church, made a commitment to Christ, but walked out the doors and don't know the next steps to take. So stop by there, all right? I want to bless you before you go, and I want to use a blessing out of the book of Numbers. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media.
Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.